Let us hear God's word. I read to you from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. Hear God speak to us in these few verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Amen. And thanks be to God for his most precious word.
In many of our churches this Sunday, we will be celebrating the beginning of Christian Aid Week. And I know that some of us are starting to collect money and invite folk to contribute to Christian Aid's and their work. So I thought it would be a good time to talk about compassion and say something about what compassion is and how it works and how it should work. I'm sure you've all read the bumper sticker or seen the expression, the bumper sticker that challenges us to commit random acts of kindness. And the truth is that it's a lovely thing to be challenged to commit a random act of kindness. It's something we can all do. Every one of us can be honest on occasion or take responsibility or be self-controlled. Every one of us can forgive other people or persevere in certain circumstances. We can be accepting of people who are different or strange. We can give to an appeal like Christian Aid. The truth is, all of us are capable of random acts of kindness. The question, rather, though, is, are we able to live according to values of charity and compassion? Can we practice such values all the time, even when there doesn't seem to be an immediate and obvious appeal or benefit to doing so? The 12th century Jewish philosopher and rabbi Maimonides listed 8 steps of charity or tzedakah, a righteousness. And they were gradations. You got better and better at doing charity as you went along. So at the very base level, level 1 was to give, but to do so with reluctance and with regret. In other words, to give with the hand, but not with the heart. A bit better than that is to give cheerfully, but not proportionately to the distress. Just a little bit, just a token, if you like. A bit better than that is to give cheerfully and proportionately, but only when you're asked. In other words, you don't do anything until somebody actually approaches you. Steps 4 to 7 then go through varying degrees of anonymity in our giving. And then we come to step number 8, the 8th and most meritorious of all forms of charity, is to anticipate charity, says Maimonides. To anticipate it by preventing poverty, either by sharing wealth with the less wealthy before they're totally impoverished or destitute, or by teaching them trades and setting them up in honest business. You see, while random acts of kindness or compassion are all good and well, they don't actually change society into a more compassionate one. Our reading for today is from Revelation 21. And I'd like to approach this reading from a slightly different angle today by asking the question, what effect did this passage have on its first readers? In other words, what outcome did reading this passage produce? Revelation 21 is part of a vision from John's book of Revelation. It's a vision of the world to come, a new heaven and a new earth. Here we see a utopian society in which God is eternally present and in which there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. In short, there is no loss and there are no losers. It doesn't say there are no winners, although I don't know if we are able to conceive of a world in which there are winners that with other people not feeling as though they've lost something. Well, that's a matter for philosophers to unpack. But anyway, on the face of it, as we read this passage, it sounds like a utopian, otherworldly paradise reserved for those who've passed on from this world. This is not achievable here and now. This will happen long after we've left this place. Or so it seems. But how did the early Christians interpret and use this text? You may be interested to know that this and similar texts were given tremendous political and social immediacy in the early church. These were not just seen as insurmountable pipe dreams that should be held up as ideals for the impossibly distant future. Instead, they were interpreted as very practical and realistic models for the present Christian society. Now, we may wonder how realistic it is to say that the ideal of a new heaven and a new earth became a reality. If it did, certainly it didn't last very long, because today there's lots of mourning and crying and pain. Yet when you read the history of the early church, even in the time of the writing of the book of Acts, we read that the communities who were living in the midst of a generally uncompassionate world, much less compassionate than our society, nevertheless began to live compassionately among themselves within their own community. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, for example, we read that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as they had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread in their homes and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. When commentators outside the church looked at the church and were critical of all sorts of things about the church, the one thing they couldn't get away from and wrote as follows, they said, "Look how they love one another." That was the visible thing that the rest of the world could see about the church. So what I'm suggesting here is actually quite challenging. I'm not talking primarily about our support for Christian Aid or other charities. I'm not talking about our support for local charities like the food bank and other things that are happening locally. I'm talking about compassion beginning right within our own church communities, within our own congregations. I'm talking about us becoming communities, small communities, but communities where compassion rather than competition rule, where we don't have to have any losers, or even winners for that matter, where we choose to be honest, forgiving, and compassionate, first of all, towards one another, where the stranger is welcome, where the sick are visited, and the hungry are fed. Now, some of you might not like this because you feel it demands too much. Because I'm asking you for more than just being at church or online on a Sunday. I'm asking you to actually share your life with the rest of us. There will be others who will say, who they don't like what I'm saying because you think it achieves too little. Shouldn't we think bigger? Shouldn't we talk about feeding the hungry all over the world? Shouldn't we be concerned as Christian aiders about the refugees in every corner of the world? But I'm asking you to start small, and not with words, but with bread and vegetables and broth, and with laughter and tears, not by holding lofty ideals about Christian values, but by actually holding each other. You see, if we're not a compassionate community ourselves amongst one another, then the contributions we make to Christian aid and other charities will never be more than self-righteous posturing and pity. And we'll never be able to see the people we support in those charities as truly being our sisters and our brothers until we start to see this odd motley crew of people within our own community as our brothers and our sisters. May God bless you with the vision of a new heaven and a new earth coming to a congregation near you. Amen.